Did you have a favorite sport that you liked to follow, or were they all?
Well, really, there wasn't any favorite sport. I liked them all because, you see, you have to be versatile in covering all sports. I did like the Tigers because Spike Briggs I knew very well. I took the last day when Spike Briggs sold it to Fetzer. Then the key changing, and I got a picture of Spike with the stadium, you know, all alone in the stadium. Spike Briggs and I were close friends also. And it was a sad situation, but it changed. Fetzer did a good job. Then he sold it later on to all the people that connected with, change it to Tiger Stadium. Then you had Monahan, and now you have Village. But the, I'd say baseball was a sport I covered quite a bit, that I did more or less a lot of, because football I liked to cover the Pistons, not as much as the, my main sport I covered a lot was, I covered hockey for quite a bit, baseball and sports, and the Lions. Mm-hmm. See,
baseball. What was involved when you were covering a game? In one of your accounts, you indicated that you had to often leave shortly after the start of the game and get some pictures back in time.
Well, we had to meet deadlines.
But how did you go about it? You get to the game early and talk to the players.
We get to the game. And the idea, we get whatever pictures we had to get, some features before the game. After that, then we decided to go ahead and we covered maybe three innings or four innings, whatever it was. They'd pick up, I had a messenger pick up the pictures. Then I would leave about the sixth or seventh inning to cover, bring back. And we leave another photographer to cover the end of the game because they get back to edit. But all this was very important covering sports. Deadlines to us was very important in those days. Had to make that first edition because our first circulation, biggest circulation, was the city edition at that time. It was 250,000 city edition circulation. And that deadline was early. Our picture deadline was 5:30. In the afternoon, and let me tell you, we could not miss anything in that first edition because that was our heaviest circulation.
So there was constant pressure on you and your staff that reported to you to get to meet these deadlines.
You had to coordinate all these different events. You had to go ahead and make plans, arrange for a copy boy to pick up the film, all these things we write out. Our budget to go ahead, tell them what time to be there. They come to the field, we give them the film. And all these people too, getting credentials for things to have for people to cover these events. But in the early days, it was easier. As time went on, my all the things that I liked to do also was the going back to the convention hall, then the name Cobo Hall. The dedication of Cobo Hall had a big ceremony. The architect, Lou Rossetti and Giffords were involved in doing that. It was a great thing downtown, the dedication. Also the beginning of the Wren Center, the dedication. Coleman Young was there at that time at that dedication. And all these were very involved. Do you realize the city county building was probably one of the first modern city halls built in the country? I remember when John S. Knight invited Mayor Daley from Chicago to come over and see the city county building because the city county building was so new and John S. Knight was proud of the new city hall that came in, New City County Building, that the Daley came over to take a look at it. Detroit was made good landmarks, good progress. The building still goes on. But all these different changes in the city, the aerial views, the only thing you can see, the waterfront. If anyone would say, you come and tell me, what are the biggest changes that happened in Detroit? The waterfront. A whole new waterfront, all changed.
All right, from Belle Isle all the way back downtown.
Well, starting, a U.S. Rubber used to be there. But going back where the Renson is, going back to Renson.
Park Davis, if it had changed, that whole area.
Park Davis, well, you go to Renson. You go back from the Renson, you go to the Kai Plaza area, Cobo Hall area, Joe Lewis area, the apartments that come up. And going down the line, you have the Free Press they built on the waterfront just before 12th. The Free Press bought 23 acres at that time along the waterfront. It's the only publication, newspaper plant on the waterfront. And all this change, if you get aerial view taken in the early 40s and look at it now, the big buildings in the back will remain, but your waterfront is a change that we've had. The city. The inner part, not as much. Everything was done on the waterfront. 90% of the new buildings were all done on the waterfront.
Let's close the session today, Tony, with one account of an episode in 1962, as I recall, when a ship named the Montrose sunk at the foot of the Ambassador Bridge. How were you involved in that?
Well, you know, when this thing sunk, we heard it. Got there, and I got on the fireboat. I went on the fireboat to get out there. Got on the fireboat to get the boat, and the captain was walking along. I guess he could walk. It was even though it was capsized. Had to get off the ship. He was the last one to get off. I guess he stayed to get the papers, whatever he had to get. And the fireboat had to go ahead probably and pick him off. So we were driving around. There's the captain standing on a boat. And that made a great picture. And as a matter of fact, I got pictures of him standing on the boat. Get back there. Here's this captain standing on the sunken freighter. The picture was probably used all over. And then they picked up, captain came down, got him boat, brought him back. That's Captain Walker on a boat. When I brought it back to the paper, they couldn't believe it. I says, I got the captain standing on his boat. He says, what are you talking about? He ran at 8 columns across the page in the back, real large. Because how often, I don't think I ever got a captain standing on a capsized boat. I've never seen one before. And I think it's the only picture that's ever been used. A lot of people still use it today.
How did he get up? That's not clear to me from your photograph on how he got up where he did on the capsized boat.
No, see, you have, the boat was capsized.
Right.
By the deck side.
Yeah, that's right.
You can walk along the part of the deck to pick up what he had to pick up. There's a little ladder then to get up. When you get a large boat, he got up to the ladder structure and got up on top.
All right, I see.
But see, what he got, you know, he walked on the side walls, I guess, in a boat instead of the floor. He got around, picked whatever he had to pick up and everything else, make sure all the papers, he had the papers, what he needed to get. Then there was a ladder, he got up on top, and he's standing in the boat, waiting to be picked up. And he came back, the boat picked up on the inside by the deck, he came down.
How did they retrieve that boat?
They finally took a month to do it. They got it by tug, they brought it back up and towed it to the shipyard.
I see.
To repair.
Well, maybe this is a good time to stop.